I'm getting to the point now where I can't remember what stories I've told and which ones I haven't. So when I was reflecting on the gospel, I had to go back in the archives of recorded homilies from past Advents to see if I'd used this homily, which I hadn't, which is a good news, so I can use it this weekend. But I did find that it fits in a theme of other homilies that I have given, all of which revolve around raccoon hunting. Great time-honored tradition in the Bethel house. Every year in November, December, and January, the family gets together to go hunting. My dad did it when he was a kid. My grandpa did it when he was a kid. This is something we do every winter, and there are tons of stories related to raccoon hunting. Now, this particular one that I'm going to tell today, you have to understand a few things about raccoon hunting first. The first thing is these are nocturnal animals, and so you can only go coon hunting at night. Okay, you can't go during the day. They're up in their trees. You really aren't going to find them. You got to be at night when they come out of the trees. They're running on the ground, and then the dog that you take with you can track them. They can find the trail, chase them up another tree where you can find them. The other thing is the darker the better. So you want to go on a night where there's overcast clouds, there's no stars, there's no moon. The less light that is out there, the more likely the raccoons will be running, and that's a good thing. That's what we want. Now the problem is, every year around this time, people start putting up their Christmas lights. Now, Dad wasn't a big fan of it. We live way out in the country. No one goes down our road. No one's going to see our lights anyways. But our neighbors, they loved putting up Christmas lights. I mean, the flashing ones, the big Santa in the front yard that's all lit up, you know. I mean, it looked like a UFO had landed right next to our house. And so when we went hunting, we were like, we got to get as far away from the neighbors as possible because this extra light is being produced from their house. I mean, it's like they built Las Vegas right next to us. So this evening that we went out, we were going into the woods, and again, we were trying to get as far away from the neighbors as possible, trying to get away from that light, getting into the darkness of the woods. And so we let the dog go, and he went a field, and we waited for him to start barking. He did. We chased him down. We found what tree he was on. We shined our lights up into the tree. Nothing. Didn't find anything up there. That's typical. It happens. Grab the dog, walk a little bit further, let him go. He goes further afield, starts barking, same thing. We rush after him, we find him, we shine up our lights in the trees. Nothing. Third time's a charm, right? So we take him a little bit further out, we let him go. This time he goes way, way out there. We can hardly hear his barks at this point. And so we're running after him now because we're afraid he's going to keep getting further away from us and we're going to lose him. Finally find him, you know, and he's up on a tree, and same thing, we shine our lights up into the tree trying to find this raccoon. Nothing. And then we start to look around, and we begin to realize we're in uncharted territory that we've never been in before, and we look around in this woods, and we have no idea where we're at. We have gone so far beyond what we normally go hunting because we were just chasing the dog down one after another that now we're looking around. We have no idea. Nothing looks familiar. No problem, we think. We'll look up to the night sky. Dad taught us you can find the Big Dipper, you know, and you shoot your hand across the sky, and there's the North Star. You know, that'll always point you north, and we can find our way back home. Cloudy night. No stars. My brother Anthony's like, no problem. We've got technology. We can pull out our phone, get on, as Dad calls them, our googly phones, and look up on Google Maps, you know, see where we're at. No service in southern Indiana when you're out in the middle of nowhere in the woods. So no service, no compass, no stars. There's nothing that we can use to find our way back home. And we're turned around. We don't even know which way is north, south, east, or west. We got nothing. So we all look to Dad, who's the experienced coon hunter, been doing this for years, and we're like, what do we do? And he said, boys, this is when we just start walking. And you hope that we find a road or a house or something that looks familiar that then can guide us back home. So we do. We start walking, and we're going up and down these hills and through these woods and in these fields that we have no clue where we're at, trying to find something, anything that looks familiar. We're going along, and now it's been about an hour. We've just been trekking through the woods. Dad's trying to have a straight line so that we're not, you know, deviating one way or the other. Suddenly he stops. He's like, boys, do you see that through the woods? We stop, you know, and we're looking between the trees, you know, trying to see what he sees. And we're like, wow, it looks like, you know, it looks like there's a light of some kind. You know, there must be civilization in that direction. And we just got to keep going that way. So we start picking up the pace a little bit. You know, we're following this light. We get a little bit closer. We're still looking through the trees. Well, wouldn't you know it? It's the neighbor's house. All those blinking lights, all that. And we were like, hallelujah, we're saved, and we're back home. And it was great. It was one of the greatest moments coon hunting we ever went on. And for us, you know, maybe not literally we've experienced that, getting lost in the woods. But in our lives, this happens pretty regularly. We think we're going down the right way. We're following where we want to go. And we take a moment to look around and we realize that we're not where we thought we were going to be at this point in our lives. There's a feeling of being lost. There is a assessment of where we are at and wondering how did I get here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And so what we do, which I think is a very human thing to do, is we do the exact same thing we did on this coon hunting expedition. We look for any light that we can. And so we do. We look to all the stars that are out there, and we pick one on the horizon, and we follow it. We're thinking, this is going to lead us back. The problem is, a lot of the stars in the sky that we want to follow, they don't stay still. And we all have them. And I'm speaking very figuratively. Your situation is going to be your own. What are those stars that you have followed in your life? The things that you've based your decisions off of, why you're doing what you're doing. What are those stars in the distant horizon? Why do we follow them? In today's gospel, Christ gives us a very different reading than what we would expect to hear in the first Sunday of Advent. You know, here we are getting ready for Christmas. It's a time of anticipation. And he's talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the end times, what we can expect to happen and be prepared for when that day comes. But when you listen to it, it speaks to us. So I'm just going to reread the beginning part here. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay. They'll be perplexed. People will die of fright, anticipation. The powers of heaven will be shaken. All of these things he's talking about. Yes, it's apocalyptic. Yes, it's about the end of the world. But as Bishop Barron makes clear to us in his teachings, when Christ speaks about these things, it means more than just that. It can be applied even to our daily lives. And so these things that he's mentioning, they're all things that move. They transpire. They are things that are not stable or set, as are many of the stars in the sky. But then he says the next part, and then they'll see it. In the midst of all the tribulations and chaos, they'll see it. They'll see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And there it is, that stable star, the North Star that does not move. The one star upon which we should base everything else in our lives. It's the one light that shines in the darkness that leads us where we want to go, actually. You'll find if you follow any of the other stars in the sky, they will only get you more lost. They do not point us home. But one star does. In this Advent season, then, to find that star that leads us to Bethlehem, leads us to Christ himself, I have three propositions for things that we can do during Lent to gain us that star, to follow that star at the expense of the other ones. So here's the first point. Christ teaches us the apocalypse at the beginning of Advent, because a world is coming to an end. Now, it's not the world, it's not the world in the broad sense, but a world should come to an end at the beginning of the liturgical year. It's a new year, a new beginning. Your world should come to an end today. The things in the past that have been on your mind, the things that have caused you daily anxieties, as he talks about the carousing, the drunkenness, these things must pass away. We have to let the stars that we have been following fall from the night sky. We have to begin anew, because it's only going to lead us further astray. And so how does that work? Well, thankfully in the church, we have this amazing sacrament that does exactly that. Go to confession. We have 4 weeks of Advent. We have these 4 weeks to prepare for Christmas. Just go once during this time, so that you can take stock of where you are right now, what stars you've been following that has led you astray. And when you get that off your chest and you receive that forgiveness, it leads you to a new beginning, a freshness of life, the ability to let go of the old, to pursue something even better that's waiting for us. Go to confession. Second thing, in olden days when navigation on the high seas was beginning to develop, Christopher Columbus, Magellan, all those great explorers, they knew when they went out on the open seas that they could trust the night sky to lead them along. They could find the North Star and it would lead them in the right direction. But being of a religious society that they were, they changed the name of it. It was no longer Polaris, the North Star. They renamed it Dona Stella Maris, Our Lady, Star of the Sea, because they recognized the reality of who Mary is for us, that she is not the star, but she points to it. She points us in the right direction. Every time that Mary does anything in the Gospels, anytime we have a tradition regarding Mary, she's always pointing to Christ, always pointing to her Son, never leading us astray, never wavering in her dedication and loyalty to that. Pray the rosary. Even if it's just once in the next 4 weeks, pray the rosary. Pray with your families. Pray that we have this guiding light in our lives that leads us where we need to go. Of course, I'd love to pray more than that, but at least once in the next 4 weeks. The last thing, the third thing, is that we are called to find that North Star in our lives, the truest light, and we do so by getting rid of everything else in our lives and finding it at its source, in something of clarity and vision that we can come to it time and again and just dwell with it, to be so fixated on it that we do not turn away from it. And of course, we find that here in the Blessed Sacrament. We find it in adoration. We find it in going to Christ, who is the star. He is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Spend an hour in adoration. 1 hour in the next 4 weeks. Split it up if you want. Do 5 minutes at a time. I don't care. Do an hour in the presence of that North Star, and you will find yourself fixated by it. It will be brilliant. So go to confession, pray a rosary, spend an hour in adoration. If you do these things, that light will be brilliant in your life. It'll be so shining and exemplary, you won't even be tempted by the other lights in the sky. And more than that, when Christmas comes around and Christ comes into our midst, we'll recognize Him. The morning star will rise in our hearts. And if we follow those three things, we will never, ever feel lost again. Amen.